I grew up in Tokyo, Saskatchewan. Was a very vibrant community. When I grew up, was born and raised there, we had our own school, we had our own stores, we had our own church, we had our own community who spoke exclusively Mi'kmaq. None of us spoke English. And that was Tokyo, Tokyo being a nickname that was brought by my uncle Albert actually. Had just come back from a war and laughingly referred to it as Tokyo, and some other name caught on, and a few generations later, we still think of it as Tokyo.
For Flamand, Tokyo wasn't just a place. It was a home built on deep roots and a rich culture. It was a place where Mi'kmaq, a blend of Plains Cree and French, was spoken as the primary language.
We are a Mi'kmaq people. We refer ourselves traditionally as Mi'kmaq. Even when the white man was calling us half-breeds, we knew ourselves as Mi'kmaq. So that's who we are as a people. Our language is Mi'kmaq. We have common culture, we have a common language, we have a common history, and most importantly, consciousness. Mi'kmaq have a common consciousness. In other words, we have a common worldview.
But today, that common worldview is at risk.
About 30 of us still speak it. It's still an oral language, meaning when us 30 die, the language dies. I've talked to quite a number of linguists, and they're saying that in spite of what I do, in spite of what we do, it's not going to survive. It's up to me now to leave as much as possible for the next generation. I've accumulated a lot of Mi'kmaq resources and provided a lot of Mi'kmaq resources. Some of it being audio, I got a lot of it done. Trying to impart as much as me as possible, so that when I'm gone, well, at least I would have done my part. That's what keeps me going today.
Even at 80 years old, I can sense the homesickness that Flamand feels as he closes his eyes and thinks back to his childhood in Tokyo.
We were all independent houses, proud mostly of who we were, as poor as we were, and we were poor in today's terms. But this is important. I didn't know I was poor until I left Tokyo. I didn't know I was poor. We had a huge garden, and we could live off that all summer if we wanted, and which we did. But they'd can the garden, and they would can Saskatoons, raspberries, strawberries. Anyway, they'd fill up our cellar with sealers. We'd slaughter a pig or two. But we always had deers, and we always had rabbits. I grew up on rabbits, rats, a lot of partridges. A lot of wild meat. So we lived off our garden and off the land, if you will. And we had no power bills, no water bills, no rent. We had no bills, period. And so we were able to live with very little money. We still had to buy salt and sugar and a few things. And we still had to buy medicines, etc. But we didn't have to buy very many things relative to today. The men would cut cordwood, go 12 miles, go and cut cellar cordwood and come back. Hopefully by night. They'd also sometimes take in a whole bunch of muskrats and go and sell those. They'd sell minks, sell weasels. So anyway, they'd have some sources of income, but we didn't need much income. We danced and partied lots, and we laughed lots, and we had a lot of fun. And we really didn't worry about anything or anyone. We didn't lock our doors because we had no thieves in Tokyo. We had no thieves in Tokyo because of who we were and how proud of we were of our surnames. I'm a Flamand. I'm a proud Flamand. And so I have this responsibility, this moral responsibility, personal responsibility, to make sure that the Flamand name is never bastardized or shame brought to it. And so I could never, ever steal. I would never dare steal. But so was every other boy and every other girl in Tokyo raised like that. So when you have a society like that, there's no reason to lock your door. Nobody's going to steal. And you didn't have that much to steal with to begin with, but nobody's going to steal. We had no police. We didn't need police. We had no judges, no jails, no bouncers, no game wardens, no authority, if you will. But yet, we were very, very, very strict on our own laws. So now you weren't a bully. And you made sure you stuck up for people that needed sticking up for. You made sure you provided for your family and for those around you that were less fortunate. You did all of those kind of things because it brings esteem to yourself and to your family.
Tokyo may be gone, but according to Flamand, the spirit of Mi'kmaq is still alive and well.
Not very long ago, we were in Turtle Mountain visiting Mi'kmaq, real Mi'kmaq, in the Turtle Mountain Reservation. She's 96 or 94, and her husband is 90, in the 90s. Sunday morning, they cooked us breakfast. And I had another friend of mine come play the fiddle there. And there we were, Sunday morning, two-stepping around in the kitchen. Now, how Mitchum is that?
I had the opportunity to sit in on a Mitchum class with Flamand and a group full of people excited about learning the Mitchum language. He taught all of us how to introduce ourselves, so I'm going to give it my best shot here. Monose, Brittany Cafe. Learning and listening in Saskatoon, I'm Brittany Cafe.